The war in Yemen started back in 2015, and there's no end in sight to a conflict that's led to a massive humanitarian crisis. Many Yemenis have chosen to flee, and in recent months, hundreds of them have ended up on a South Korean tourist island called Jeju. It's off the coast of South Korea, thousands of miles away from the Arabian Peninsula. From the capital, Seoul, Se-yung Koo has been following the story. He's the publisher of the online magazine Korea Exposé. First, Se-yung, why have all these people from Yemen gone all the way to South Korea?
Well, it's quite a stroke of luck, really. Based on what I have heard, many of them actually have ended up in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur, to be precise. And within the refugee community, they were searching for a safe destination, a country that has signed onto the UN Refugee Convention. And in fact, many of them realized that South Korea happens to be one of those countries. On top of that, there was a direct flight opening up between Kuala Lumpur and this island of Jeju back in December. And also, Jeju happens to be a place that allows tourists from many countries to enter and stay for up to 30 days without a visa. So in a way, it was a perfect destination for these Yemeni refugees.
How have they been received on Jeju?
So that's where things start to get a little difficult. In fact, between January and May of this year, there has been a lot more Yemenis arriving than in the past, although I must say that it is not such a big number, considering that we're talking about 552 people. Some of the locals have been very hospitable and accommodating. They have been providing lodging and food. Also, some of the expat community on Jeju have also been trying to help out by providing supplies. But at the same time, we have seen some very unfortunate events involving locals who would rather see these Yemenis leaving. So there has been a protest. And also the Yemenis themselves have expressed feeling less than welcome by the locals in the last several weeks, especially.
So Jeju is a tourist destination. I'm assuming these Yemeni refugees want to head to Seoul to work and live. Are they able to do that?
That's absolutely correct. Many Yemenis say they would like to be somewhere other than this island, preferably a place that offers them more opportunities to make a living. It was possible for some time, but recently the government decided that it would be in the country's best interest to actually prevent these people from leaving the island. So many of them have been stuck there. And that's really a source of contention within that community, but also among South Koreans who would not like to see such refugees spreading across the country.
Se-yung, you wrote an editorial in the New York Times about South Korea's reluctance to accept refugees and its kind of tendency towards xenophobia. What's that about?
Yeah, so that's what's so interesting about this situation. If we count other Yemenis who have applied for asylum here until the end of last year, we're really talking about 1,000 people. But because of this very small group, we have seen a real kind of an outbreak of xenophobia and racism in this country, which really only goes to show that South Korea has never really been comfortable with the idea of living with people who are not Korean. And it's also very interesting to note that Korea never, in fact, received that many refugees. And the success rate for people who apply for asylum in South Korea is incredibly low.
Is there sort of a cultural or historical reason why many South Koreans are so reluctant to accept refugees?
So, in fact, after I wrote this piece in the New York Times, I've heard from many South Koreans who say that, well, Korea is not the reason that these people became refugees in the first place. Korea was not a colonial power. Korea did not invade other countries. So why should Korea be responsible for these people? But in reality, what we really need to think about is how Koreans have been educated to think about foreigners for a very long time. This is a country where schools taught students to believe that Korea is a single-blooded nation, and that this is a country that has experienced many invasions by other foreign powers. So it is really in the best interest of the population to try and keep outsiders away as much as possible.
How many Yemenis have been accepted in South Korea? I mean, is there a Yemeni community in Seoul?
there seems to be some Yemeni community in Seoul, and that is the reason why the Yemenis who are in Jeju say they would rather travel to Seoul, the capital, because not only is it a place that offers more employment possibilities, but it's also a place where they can really find some kind of community support. But overall, Yemenis are not a very visible group here in South Korea. And I have to say, in fact, it's hard to say there are that many visible foreigner community in South Korea as a whole.
What reasons do South Koreans who oppose accepting Yemeni refugees give for their objection to it?
Well, as I said earlier, they say this is a conflict that took place, that is taking place very far from here, and that it is really the responsibility of the countries that are near Yemen to try and address the refugee situation. They also say that unlike Europe, and Europe is really a word that comes up very often in this kind of discourse, Europe has been responsible for, in a way, colonizing other countries and also being indirectly responsible for conflicts in different parts of the world. So it is natural for such a place to try and accommodate refugees. But South Korea is not in that situation. This is very far. And also people would rather be left alone and live with their own. Another word that comes up very often in this kind of response is the possibility of cultural conflict, they say. Not to mention, there seems to be a significant amount of Islamophobia here. They say Islam is a religion that is simply not compatible with South Korean society. And they also say Muslims can come and potentially endanger the safety of the South Korean public.
Is this issue with the Yemeni refugees, is it prompting soul searching among South Koreans? Is it a moment where people are kind of questioning their attitudes?
That's actually what I find so tragic about this whole situation, because what I have just told you seems to be very much the mainstream opinion here. Back on Saturday, there was a demonstration against refugees. It was quite small, maybe attended by about 1,000 people. But they were insisting that, yes, what they're saying, this expression of xenophobia, Islamophobia, racism, this very much constitutes mainstream opinion here. It is what the public wants, and the government really should listen. And another thing to mention is the fact that this opposition to refugees or immigrants as a whole is much higher among young people than it is among the older generation. We see that people in their 20s and 30s are much more hostile to having foreigners here. So that's a very interesting thing to point out, I think.
So at this point, we don't know what's going to happen to these 500 or so Yemenis on Jeju Island.
Well, it's true, but the government here has been inclined to abide by, let's say, the will of the people. They listen to what the public wants, and right now it's clear that the majority does not want to see refugees staying, and I expect that the government policy will follow suit.
Is South Korea under any pressure from international organizations or the UN to be more open?
Well, to my knowledge, I don't think there has been any attempt by the international community to reason with the South Korean government. And that was partly the reason why I wanted to write this piece, so that there would be more attention paid to the plight of the Yemenis in Jeju. After all, we're really talking about 1,000 refugees, 552 who arrived between January and May of this year. And even if we count those Yemenis who applied for asylum until the end of last year, it really is about 980 people. And I really wonder what it means if South Korea cannot accommodate such a small number of people who are seeking help. And if it does not, it tells us a lot about the state of this country.
Seung-Koo with Korea Exposé magazine in Seoul. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.